Samuel Hinton is an award-winning astrophysicist, robotics and software engineer, astronomer, cat enthusiast, and education advocate who is my guiding light when it comes to all things science. If you've ever had dreams of piloting a giant fighting robot to defend the Earth against those who may try to destroy our destructive way of life, then you're going to meet this guy. He's on the phone now, though. What's up, Samuel? How's the sciencing going, my brother?
Oh, science scene is going fantastically.
All right,
thanks
that's
for
it.
Asking.
That's it. You're going 1,000 miles an hour on the science scene. Hey, so much. Every time we get a chance to talk to you, so much science news that we've got to catch up with. Now, NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, who faked the moon landing, God bless them, they're offering $19,000 to volunteers prepared to spend 60 consecutive days lying in bed as part of a new research program investigating artificial gravity. What's all that about?
Yeah, it sounds pretty good, doesn't it? That's $19,000 to stay in bed. You know, I thought maybe I should try and sign up for this. Apparently, I'm not eligible. You have to be fluent in German because they're partnered with the European Space Organization. So it's been done in Germany, and my German is about, you know, 5 words, and it's just hello and, like, please leave me alone.
Not as good as your science, then.
Yeah, no, but yeah, it's a big study to try and determine the effects that essentially microgravity and gravity have on the human body. And the idea is if you lie in bed and you elevate your limbs, you don't have as much blood in them, which is essentially just what happens on the space station. So if you're one of the people selected, there's a 50-50 chance that either you'll be just stuck in a bed for 60 days or stuck in a bed for 60 days, apart from when they pick you up and put you in a human-sized centrifuge to spin you around. That sort of forces the blood back in, you know, as if you're getting exercise. And then they'll compare the differences between the two groups. I don't think it's enough money, frankly.
No, and so you can't actually get up at all. Like
that's right.
You go to the toilet lying down.
Yep, they will feed you in bed. You will use the toilet with bedpans. You're not even allowed to lift your head up off the bed because that could, you know, force more blood into it.
Yeah.
So you're literally lying there for 60 days. I couldn't do that.
I don't know, $19,000, it's a lot of money. That'd be American money too, I imagine.
Yeah, around 24,000 Australian dollars. I mean, that's enough to buy a lot of pizza. But perhaps they could do a bit more, I reckon.
And in other news, we're one step closer to finding out why we are made of matter, and indeed why, I guess, sort of most things that we're aware of are made of matter and not antimatter. First things first on this one, can you let us know what antimatter is?
Sure. So antimatter is, I want to say it's just the opposite of matter, but then I'm just restating the title. It's essentially matter with everything but the charge different. Sorry, everything but the charge the same. The charge is what's different. So you can have like an anti-hydrogen atom and a hydrogen atom, and they should operate exactly the same. This is the whole thing. Matter and antimatter should be symmetric. So if you had like a kilogram of matter in one hand and a kilogram of antimatter in the other, and you smack them together, not only would you, vaporize Sydney, but all that comes out of that should just be energy, just light. So
okay.
The question is, when the Big Bang happened, if there was equal amounts of matter and antimatter, why is there matter left over? You know, we shouldn't be here. So there's got to be something different between them.
Right.
And there's been some teasers before, but the new research that's come out is essentially at the particle colliders, they're smashing various things together, and they finally found a particle, an unstable particle, so it decays into something else, where the matter version and the antimatter version decay at different rates into different things. And so that's like huge news, because before, like, they're completely the same. If a particle decays into, you know, particle A, the antimatter decays into the antimatter particle A. They're just completely the same, but suddenly we've found a difference. So we need to keep pushing that and trying to get closer and closer to working with real ordinary matter, you know, the stuff that you and I are made out of. And that might finally answer the question, why is there matter?
And antimatter, it's not a hypothetical thing, is it? I mean, is antimatter is something that they've discovered in deep space?
Yeah, so if you want antimatter, you don't have to go that deep. Most of it gets trapped in the Earth's magnetic field. So in deep space, there's really not much. But if you want to harvest it, fly above the poles, above the space station, you might be able to get a thimbleful.
Ah, nice one. Now, NASA, there was an all-female spacewalk schedule that they had to cancel.
Yeah, there was a big social media kerfuffle about that. Would have been the first female spacewalk in history. And then there was some scheduling conflict, and NASA essentially just said there's an issue with like having the right suits. We don't have the suits for them. And everyone lost their minds. We had a tweet from Hillary Clinton who angrily said, make another suit. it sort of missed the point. NASA has a lot of suits. They have more than one suit. The issue is that a spacesuit is essentially a personalized, you know, space vehicle. You go out into space with it. They're very complex.
Yep.
And so they have to fit, you know, really, really well. NASA has 65 different sizes for the gloves, right? Just the gloves. So it's a bit difficult to find something. And then you go into space, and your body changes in space. You know, gravity stops squishing you down. So the astronaut that was up there, that one of the two women, Anne McLean, she had two suits, right? Because as your body expands, you go from one suit to the other. She said, hey, actually, I want a different suit for my next spacewalk. But they didn't have that suit ready to go. It takes 12 hours to configure a spacesuit. And when you're on the International Space Station, your time is allocated in five-minute blocks, right? So 12 hours is a lot of five-minute blocks for them to suddenly find. So NASA instead said, look, we can reconfigure the suit, but we don't really have time to do that before the next walk, so we'll just trade you out with someone else. And that was an issue for either the astronauts. In fact, it was on McLean's recommendation. But once social media got the NASA cancels the first all-female, oh, they didn't like that. But no, it'll happen eventually. NASA just doesn't make rosterings based upon gender. It's just purely a utility thing. So next couple of months, hopefully.
I wouldn't want to be at the International Space Station at the moment anyway, because isn't there a lot of debris flying around there after the Indian space program?
Yeah, India test there. Yeah, so NASA is now tracking 400 extra pieces of space debris that, you know, they're probably not going to impact the space station, but it's just more to keep track of. And this is a really big problem we're going to have to solve soon. With all the satellites we launch, and then with the ones that fail, and the ones that go back up, and all the stuff we leave in space, we're essentially turning the Earth into a prison surrounded by flying metal shrapnel that travels at 16,000 kilometers an hour.
Nah.
You know, it's not fun to fly through. So, you know, first we can fix up the planet, clean it up, and then probably try and clean up space a bit too.
So just in the orbit surrounding Earth, it's as dirty as the beach is at the moment.
Oh, that's very dirty. But yeah, probably. Yeah, it's quite concerning.
Yeah, you can't sort of go up there, otherwise you might get hit in the scorn with a Pepsi tin or something like that. That's no good at all. Samuel, thank you so much for joining us here. There's so much that I'd like to talk to you about. Can I get you back on the show again in a little while, please, mate?
Oh, sure thing, mate. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, lovely to have you here. And if people want to find out more about all the stuff that you're into, cosmiccoding.com.au is the website to go to.
That's me.
And you're available to give talks and things like that, aren't you?
Yeah, I do a bunch of public outreach talks, so if there's any schools that need some STEM promotion or some science hype, hit me up and I'll gladly talk for far too long.
Thank you so much, Emily. You have yourself a wonderful weekend, and we'll catch you on Friday Drive on 2SER again real soon.
Thanks, mate.
Samuel Hinton, ladies and gentlemen. God, I love having him on here. He makes me feel so much more intelligent having a chat with him.